eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you.
Welcome to another broadcast from Life Point Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Wherever you are at this point in life, we pray that God will use the following message as a source of help and encouragement as you listen. Stay tuned at the end of today's broadcast to learn how you can contact us for additional resources or to receive further spiritual help. And now, here's today's message.
I'm going to be continuing the series, God is Light. But more focusing on the analogy, the thought of light in terms of what it is. What we talked about last time, just to quickly summarize that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. He is perfectly pure. There's no deficiencies. He's not tarnished. He's perfectly pure. That he is one in essence. There's no mixture. He's pure. Let's just think about light. You have a source. If you want to picture this morning, we have spotlights that are shining towards me. And the way that it works is that light is reflected from me to you. So let's just make this real simple and singular. We have a single source of light that would be shining towards me, and it's reflected towards you. There's the source, the object of the light, and then the person who sees that object. There's those three things, three elements. When it comes to the Christian life, specifically, God is our source, we ourselves are the object, and other people are the recipients of that light. It works that way. God's light shines upon us to others. Let's briefly look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6. Paul has written something very profound in my opinion of it. As I was thinking it through, I couldn't definitively come to one specific thought. There was just multitude after multitude of what's being presented here in this verse. But let's just read it to put it before us. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. He immediately begins there, pointing our thoughts back to the God, the Creator, the one who set everything in motion, who brought light out of darkness. He's, in terms of time, pointing us back to that moment. But he's also at the same time in his wording pointing out the authority and the power of God. In the King James Version, instead of the word said, they use the word commanded. That God commanded the light to come out of the darkness. And when you go to the Greek, you see that it's true in the sense of what's being presented here. That God is in charge, and he uses his voice, and he controls light. There is power and authority being presented in this simple statement. And I just, as I was thinking it through, found it funny that for myself, in terms of power over light, the only thing that I could ever have done in my existence is clap on, clap off. But this is God's voice. The power's in his word. So moving from that picture of who God is, what has he done? He's shone or shined in our hearts unto us. Those who are reborn have a new nature within them. They are a new creation. He has shone unto us, into our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. I have to revert back to an illustration again. If you have a light bulb, it gives off light. The light bulb itself is, in terms of what we're looking at here, the face of Jesus Christ. And what we're receiving from that light bulb is the glory of God, the knowledge of the glory of God. God the man, that's our source. He has shone unto us into our hearts. and that has caused something to happen, the rebirth. We can choose to humble ourselves before him, as we discussed the last time. We can choose to be proud or we can choose to be humble. And we have to humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God to receive that knowledge, to gain that understanding. Let's flip over to Matthew chapter 5. Many of you will immediately know this is the section, the Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount. Just to give a little background, the Gospel of Matthew is written to Jewish believers. And in this section for the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus sees crowds and he goes up onto a mountain and sits, and the crowds come to him. And so when we're reading the Sermon on the Mount, chapters 5 through 7, he's speaking to people who are of the kingdom, people who are followers of Jesus. He's speaking to his disciples. He isn't speaking specifically to unbelievers. And it's hard to discern at moments in the section in terms of who it is that he's speaking to. Just like this morning, if I were to stand here and give a message to the men, women, you're here, you're listening, you're going to pick up on something that I say, even though I might be specifically trying to address the men. The same principle is true, that there's both believers and non-believers there, but when we read through it, it's presented to the believers, the Jewish believers. And so we find chapter 5, in verse 14, Jesus says this: "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." I just have to immediately say that he's not preaching salvation by good works. There is a light that shines, and what's shining from that light is the good works. But that's a statement, going back to 14, you are the light of the world. This is something that's occurred, something that's happened, something that is real. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Would anyone in their right mind determine, I'm going to put my city there, I'm going to build my city up on the top of this hill and then want to hide it? No, there's a purpose there. They want people to know where it is. You want people to be able to find it. It's there for a purpose. As we continue, verse 15, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. Again, a purpose. You turn on the lights in the room so that you can see. You light a lamp so that you can see what's in the room, so you can see the darkness, what's going on around you. You want to know where things are in the room. There is a purpose and there is an intent with turning that light on, with lighting that lamp. There's a purpose and an intent with putting a city on the top of a hill. There is a purpose and an intent for why God's light has shone into your hearts. And Jesus says, in the same way, speaking of that purpose, in the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. The overall purpose is to give glory to our Father in heaven, that we would be to the praise of his glorious grace. What we find here, though, when he's speaking about good works, is that you could discuss good works. You could discuss how to serve somebody. You could discuss how to do this, how to do that. But when we go through the Bible, what we find is that the summation of ministering to other people is love. If you want someone to understand a truth about God, it's love. The light that God has shone unto us, we find his love, and that love needs to shine beyond us to others. Let's flip back to 2 Corinthians, this time chapter 4, verse 5, immediately before what Paul described. He says this: "For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants, for Jesus' sake." So right there at the beginning of it, we see his humility. He doesn't want people to look at him. We proclaim, we profess, we preach, not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord. And the word Lord there is not the name of the Lord. It's the title Lord. You might think of the title Baron or Duke or Duchess or whatever comes to mind in terms of the title for a person that has a position of authority. That's what Paul is pointing out here. We don't have the authority. Christ Jesus has the authority. He is the one in charge. My life is in his hands. He can dictate. He can tell me what to do. He is the one in charge. But then, so what? Where does Paul fit in this? If God's in charge, and here he's speaking to the Corinthian church, God's in charge, what's Paul doing? Paul is a servant to them. He says, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. Jesus, the source, has made himself known to Paul, and Paul is now a servant to the Corinthians. The word that he uses for servants in the Greek, as we've discussed a number of times here, is that word bondservant. And just to refresh your minds, perhaps you haven't heard that one before, perhaps you're a visitor here and haven't, perhaps you don't know what a bondservant is. A bondservant is a person whose relationship towards their master is one of love. They aren't in chains, they don't feel oppressed by having to conform to the rules and the authority of that person. Rather, they want to do the will of their master. Every activity, every act of service is motivated by a heart of love. In the movie Ben-Hur, there's a moment where he is in the ship and he's rowing, and the taskmaster comes and wants to see what kind of a crew of slaves that this ship has. And as he's down there, he demands that they start rowing faster, and the slaves just have to obey his words. But he sees and recognizes something in Ben-Hur. And moments after, you discover that he releases Ben-Hur from the chains. Ben-Hur is now free. But what does he choose? He chooses to remain in that position of slavery. He chooses to stay there and identify himself with the rest of his brothers around him in slavery. He doesn't feel led to go. What does that say to the taskmaster? The taskmaster immediately picks up on that and recognizes this guy is doing this because he wants to. And from that point on, the taskmaster, that person, wants to know Ben-Hur. He wants Ben-Hur in his family. He sees the loyalty that this man has, that upon being given freedom, he will choose to remain in slavery, remain in the service that he was in. It's that heart of love, that motivation. And who is it that Paul says that he is giving that love to? To the Corinthians. Ourselves as your bondservants. As I think it through, I'm immediately drawn to the greatest commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Perhaps we could fill it in this way. Be a bondservant to the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Be a bondservant to others. That heart of love, that motivation of love. In our first verse, verse 6, continuing on from this point, Paul's saying, Jesus is Lord, we are your servants. He says, it's because of this. God, the Creator God, has shown himself to me. And this is what's occurred. I have been revealed to the knowledge of the glory of God, and it's in the face of Christ Jesus. A revelation has taken place in Paul's heart. And the same is true for every person who is reborn of the new nature of God. And so, to think about our illustration again, we have our source, our object, and the person who sees the object, the light shining and being reflected. Well, it doesn't completely work in the situation, because what God has done is He has taken that light and put it within us, that that light would shine forward within ourselves, the Holy Spirit to dwell within us, that we would abide in Christ. The purpose that people would see God, would see the love of God, that everything would be to the praise of His glorious grace. That we would, in essence, be a mirror reflecting His light. When we think about that light, again, let's think about our source of light. If in this room there was one light on the far side, and I was way over on this opposite side, you wouldn't be able to see me very well. You'd be able to look at me, you'd be able to see I have a green shirt on today, but you wouldn't maybe be able to distinguish certain features. But the closer that I come to that light, the better that you're able to see me, the better you're able to recognize the features of me, more of what's going on in me, what I'm wearing, the details of my face, wrinkles perhaps. The closer I am to that light, the better you're able to see. We read in John 13:35, "By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." But it is not our love, it is His love, making Him known through us. If we are way over here and He is way over there, they aren't going to see the source of the light. We need to live our lives connected to that source, abiding in Christ, so that others will see His love, not ours. We are weak. We must be connected to the vine, spending time with God, spending time in His Word, in prayer and meditation, and allowing Him to lead us, allowing Him to guide us. Because when we are fixed on Him, allowing Him to be the Lord of our lives, the Master, He will point us in the directions we need to go. And when we are showing forth love, there is nothing that's hindering His gospel from being preached. Because if it is our love that they see, they will see tainted love, incomplete love, love that is possibly even motivated from selfish ambition, that I'll scratch your back, you scratch mine. The human reason can go to an extent where, okay, I've been showing you love for 5, 10, 15 years now. I'm not getting anything out of this deal. Like, what's going on? Why am I not receiving? Selfish love. There are many ways in which we could see it. But we have been called unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we get connected to Him, when we remain at the source, we don't have to worry about that because it's His love working through us. We will discover and realize that the love pouring out of us, we don't need it to return to us because we are overflowing from His love towards us. And the one day that I was thinking about this, the thought came to me in respect to the love that God has shown us, what He has given to us, the light that has shone in our hearts. In regards to love, what right do we have to withhold that love from anyone else? The Lord has been speaking that to me in volumes this week, reminding me of it at certain points in my life where I was showing love in expectation to get return. We do not have any right to withhold love from anyone. But specifically in this verse, people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. The picture that is being presented is the body of Christ. Unity, oneness, love. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, as he's going into chapter 13, he's discussed the spiritual gifts, and he now points out that I will show you an even better way, love. Love, the best form of all of the gifts, it's love. The body of Christ will be the light shining through us in our love for one another. The world will come to know God the Father and Jesus Christ through our love for one another. There's a poem that I came across this week by a man named John Oxenham. It's in a book that I have of religious poems. But it sets the mark in respect to what love is, I believe. I'll just read it. It's titled, Love's Prerogative. Love ever gives, forgives, outlives, and ever stands with open hands. And while it lives, it gives, for this is love's prerogative, to give and give and give. The Lord Jesus Christ is our source of light. And for those who are reborn, we don't preach ourselves. We don't want other people to know specifically about us. We're not proud of that at all. It's the Lord Jesus Christ who has done an amazing work in our lives, taking sinners and bringing them into His glory. That rebirth, the expectation to one day be with Him as well. And that's what it is, to make a sinner clean. It's a glorious thought. Love. Give and give and give. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you humbly, knowing that we are not worthy to stand in your presence. We are not worthy of knowing you, having a relationship with you. We know that our rights are the rights to death, because you say in your word, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. We praise you and thank you for shining the light of the knowledge of your glory in the face of Jesus Christ, that we can see and understand who you are, that we can experience you in your word, that we can know by your spirit that this is truth. We praise you and thank you for that. We thank you for the example that Christ has set in regards to the life of love as a life of servitude. And we thank you that you are able to meet that and fulfill that in us today, that it is not in any effort of our own other than to remain connected to you. Father, we thank you for shining your light towards us, allowing us to see you, to know you. Father, I would ask that if there's anyone listening online or who's here in this meeting this morning that does not know you, that you would reveal yourself to them now, that you would grant to them an understanding of the truth, that they would come to see who they are in your light and recognize their needs of you, that by your Spirit you would come unto them and love them, that they would receive your love, that all of us, each of us, would be humble before you, that we would live humbly before you, that we would humble ourselves and trust you, that we would not stand on the edge of that pool in our own strengths, but that we would jump into your arms and stay in your arms and live our lives in your arms. For you promise in your word that you will supply every need of ours. So Father, we just praise you and thank you for what you have done and what you will do in us. And we ask, Father, that you would glorify your name in us, revealing who you are through us. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to a broadcast from LifePoint Church in Greenville, South Carolina. If this ministry has touched your life in some way, we would love to hear from you. Just visit our website at www.lifepointsc.org for more information. Or, if you prefer to reach us by letter, you can write to us at P.O. Box 27036, Greenville, South Carolina, 29616, USA. Until next time, may God bless you as you continue to follow Him.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see.